WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. 9:06. We've got 1 hour to talk about all that's happening in the world of money, and there's a lot to cover. So details and more details. Finally, we get the nuances, or at least the proposed nuances, of the brand new tax reform proposal by the GOP. So we have a new Fed chair announcement, new chair of the Federal Reserve. So Janet Yellen's term is up. Looks like we have a new fella in town, Jerome Powell, as long as he gets confirmed, which he probably will. And not a whole lot of change there because he is supposed to be more of the same, which is good news. We don't want to upset the apple cart when things are actually doing pretty well. Remember, only a few days ago, we got another reading on GDP, another 3% read. So the U.S. economy in the first quarter, the second quarter, the second and third quarter, actually in the 3% range. So we want to continue this economic growth that is just speeding up from the 39 mile per hour economy that has been sluggish and frustratingly slow for so many years. We may be breaking out of that, and we want that to continue. So massive news flow this week, decent economic data. We had a jobs report on Friday, 261,000 jobs. Unemployment rate still at 4.1%, or just ticked down to 4.1%. Wage growth, though, in this last report, not a lot of wage growth. So that is still a thorn in our economic side. September data revised just a little bit higher. So again, the job picture still good. Not fantastic, but I would say decidedly solid. So massive news flow for the week, and let's talk about the market for just a minute here. Just this relentless rise continues on the S&P 500 and the Dow, of course, actually ticking up even higher than the S&P 500 for the week. Dow up about 0.5%, S&P 500 up about 0.25%. Year to date, Dow up 19%, the S&P 500 up 15.5%. Without a whole lot of correction. So it's been this remarkable rise, non-euphoric rise though, which is an interesting circumstance as the market has just plodded higher and crept higher without a whole lot of fanfare. I'm not seeing party hats coming out for this market, but as an investor so far, so good, we'll take it. I also want to address, so we're talking about taxes. Of course, this market continues to move forward, even with every step of the way, as Congress comes out with new details, you hear of this congressman is on board, this congressman is not on board. Trump says it's going to get done. I believe it's going to get done at least by the first quarter of 2018. So I want to talk about the new tax reform proposal. I know we've had several shows about it, but there are some surprises that have popped up now that the details have come out in the bill finally. Remember, we haven't gotten a whole lot of detail in the last year. We've talked about it. We've gotten these one-page bullet-pointed examples, big picture stuff. Here we're actually getting the nuances, the tax brackets, who's going to be impacted, and I want to go through that. Also today, I want to address a new campaign that, now, I'm not on the new campaign. Maybe I'll be on the anti-campaign on this, but a new campaign that Susie Orman, of all people, is on. And she's out propagating the same Wall Street fear mantra, I like that. It's mantra and monster put together that we've heard for years from Wall Street. She wants you, and we're moving topics, and we will get to tax reform in the bottom of the half hour, but I'm going to get to this first. She wants you to work until you're at least, and she actually says, and not a day sooner, until you're at least 70. Yeah, age 70. And she says, not a day before. So she wants you to work till at least 70 and maybe even longer. And as someone, and this is now coming from my perspective, I've been spent the better part of my career and my life trying to help people retire sooner, not later. So I take serious issue with Suze here and what she's saying. So a lot to talk about here just in this 1 hour, Money Matters. Also, a quick programming note on YouTube. Yes, YouTube. YouTube isn't just for to watch Funny or Die videos. It's not just for your kids and maybe your grandkids. And I know Thanksgiving's coming up, so you're going to see your kids do this and your grandkids when you gather around the table. They're off playing YouTube. It's time to eat. It's not just for little kids to watch videos about that are other people playing video games. And by the way, if you haven't seen them already doing this, they'll be doing this Thanksgiving and this holiday season. Although that is a lot of what YouTube actually is. That's a lot of the content on YouTube. But don't think that it's just all viral videos and video games and watching video gamers play video games. It's a platform to consume media. It's visual, of course, with your videos, but also podcasts. And if you're looking just for audio, our team posts tons of our own videos. So I'll do a video blog several times a month about a topic that's important or one of the most topical issues of the day, or something to explain something that's happening in the world, like the latest market run-up or income investing or how to retire early or why Susie Orman's crazy or how to pay off a mortgage early. And we've even recently described, and we did this here on Money Matters too, what Bitcoin is. So we'll take parts of this show and we'll put it up in pieces on YouTube so you can search for different topics. So go to YouTube and search for Wes Moss Money Matters. And everything that I just mentioned as an example, those are all topics. Even though they might not be filmed video, they are videos that basically you just play the audio and listen to these clips of the show. So go to Wes Moss Money Matters on YouTube. You can do it on a desktop or the YouTube app, and you search for Wes Moss Money Matters. Hit that little subscribe button, and then you'll see all the videos to choose from. So let's call, I know, we're talking Susie Orman, we're talking taxes. First, let's address what Susie's trying to say. By the way, calls here in the studio. We are live this Sunday morning. The number here, 404-872-0750. Again, we're live here on this Sunday morning. I love the time change today. I actually got up and had so much extra time I was able to exercise for, which is a rare event to do before Money Matters, and I love doing it. But here we are in November, and we are live on a Sunday morning. So the number in the studio with your questions, whether it relates back to what these taxes might mean for you, and I might not have all the answers, but I think I can give you a good direction on where we're headed. Or maybe it's a retirement question or a pension versus a lump sum question or a product annuity versus a mutual fund or an ETF or a stock question or a bond question. I'm here on Sunday mornings to answer those. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, before we do that, let's go to Susie Orman, and she has built really an amazing career. She talks about retirement, financial freedom, financial success. You've heard her. You maybe seen her on her CNBC show. And now there's a big article in Time about this. She's on the cover of Money Magazine talking about this and telling everybody that they should work far beyond the typical retirement age. Perhaps, in fact, the way I interpret this is she's pretty much saying, hey, you got to work until we die. The article's titled, Susie Orman Says, This is the Age You Should Retire Not a Month or Year or Day Before. And that age is age 70. And that bugs me because I'm trying to help people to pay off mortgage, get financial freedom, and do it as soon as possible. And when I wrote, you're going to retire sooner than you think, in my mind, that was 64 or 62. That was pretty early, maybe even 60. And over the years, that has crept even younger as Americans have gotten more and more serious and more diligent about trying to hit the retirement button, even into their 50s. Now, there's a couple things I do agree with. One example, she says you got to pay off your mortgage before you retire. Of course, I wrote a whole chapter in my book about that. But And I typically don't take issue with Susie's advice, but this time I think it's different. So this concept to retire at least at age 70, in my opinion, it's not sensible. At least that's not a good date to shoot for. And a lot of times it's not even really possible. So it's an unrealistic goal for a lot of people. So Susie's suggesting that you work until you drop isn't really new though. And that's why I take issue with this, because it's kind of this is a joke that I'll say in financial planning that Wall Street propagates and has for years. How do you not run out of money? Well, the answer is you work until you die. And that's basically what Susie Orman's saying here. So the advice is basically this lazy thinking that you just kind of, everybody's got to work until age 70. I just don't really think that makes sense for a lot of people. And remember the reports, and you've heard these, there's plenty of articles out there that say, hey, you've got to have 1.5 million isn't what it used to be. You got to have 2 million. Not long ago, an article on CNBC popped up that said you need at least 2.6 million for the average American to retire. Again, that freaks people out because most Americans are just trying to get going and get out of debt and get started with their savings. And then these big numbers come up and they make you feel as though you can't even get into the game, let alone retire. So a lot of people just stop and they don't do anything. And that, I think, is a problem. That's part of this cross current. And a lot of it starts with the fear that Wall Street propagates that says, just keep saving. It's never enough. Keep saving and keep working. And then that's the best way not to run out of money. Now, I here are a couple of the main points that she's saying and why I take issue. The first thing that Susie says is you've got to delay tapping Social Security until age 70. So she says you should choose to delay Social Security, not take it at 62, which would be early. Don't wait till 60. Don't start at 66, which might be your normal retirement age or full retirement age. As for the younger folks I'm talking to on your Social Security statement, it might be 67 before you get to your normal retirement age. She's saying, no, don't wait. Don't do it that soon. Wait all the way until you're age 70 before you take it. I want to run those numbers and tell you when that payoff or when you actually break even for all the years you choose not to collect Social. So you don't do it at 66, 67, 68, 69, you wait. So if you left all that money on the table with Social Security, how long does it take you to get that money back or break even? I'm going to answer that question when Money Matters return. So quick news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on WSB straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wes Moss here every Sunday morning, picking apart this new campaign that Susie Orman's on. She's telling you gotta work at least till age 70. What? And this is in Time Magazine. She's on the cover of Money Magazine. Here are three items that she thinks that you have to do. This is what Susie's telling you. A, delay Social Security until age 70. B, lay the foundation to work longer. And three, enjoy a secure retirement. Okay. Well, I guess to some extent, if you work until you die, no big deal. I'm not saying you're going to die until age 70, but here's what's wrong with this advice. So let's say you wait on Social Security, her first piece of this, until age 70. And let's say your benefit's $1,500 a month at age 66. You choose not to take it because you want a higher benefit at age 70. That's 18 grand a year. You're not taking it. Multiply that by 4 years. You've left 72 grand on the table. Once you hit age 70, you start collecting a higher payment. You were holding out for this higher payment, but it's going to take you more than 11 years before you just to break even on the money that you missed out on. So for a male, that brings you to age 81, which according to the Social Security Administration's actuarial life table, that's about the age you're expected to live until. So you break even at 81 and then you die at 84. That doesn't sound like a great way to maximize your retirement years to me. Now, there's a lot of other considerations to wait to age 70. A big consideration has to do with your surviving spouse benefits. So if your spouse is a lot younger, you may want to consider waiting till 70. But saying that everybody should wait until age 70 or their 70th birthday, I think it's misguided. And I think it's very much one size fits all advice. Now, the second piece of this, lay the foundation to work longer. Yeah, listen, most companies that I know of are trying to usher people out in their mid to late 50s, early 60s, because they want to hire younger workers to do your same job at a lower wage. So that's why we keep hearing about buyout packages, to say to your boss, hey, at age 64, hey, I want to work 6 more years. I think that's a tall order. So we're going to continue with this. There's one more bullet point we need to get to. about skipping your 60s in retirement, and then we're going to talk about this new tax bill from the GOP and how it might impact you. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We've got a lot to cover here. We're wrapping up the advice from Susie Orman. I'm going to go right to the phones here. And then we're going to talk about taxes. What does this new tax bill, if passed, which I think it has a very good chance of happening, what does it mean and how does it change the money in your wallet after you pay your taxes? That's what really matters. 404-872-0750. Phones in just a second. Let's finish up Susie Orman. And then the reason I bring this up is that I saw this everywhere over the last week. It's the cover of Money Magazine. There's four different articles about it. There's Time Magazine about it. And Susie Orman's coming out and saying, look, you got to work till 70. She says, delay Social Security until age 70. I don't agree with that. I already talked about that in the first half hour. Tell your boss you want to work till 70. Again, that's typically not a very easy conversation it's not really possible for a lot of people and a lot of workers. And three, she says, okay, enjoy a secure retirement. Well, that makes sense, secure, but you're skipping your 60s if you do that. And I work with a lot of families that have lots. Retirement can be great, 70 and on, 70s, 80s, that's fine. But you're missing what is a magical decade. And that's the decade of your 60s. Would you rather spend that doing 50-hour work weeks or doing the things that you love to do most? And that's why I take issue with his advice. There's no such thing as one-size-fits-all approach to what we do here, retirement planning. And you can, if you can get to a place of financial or retirement freedom before 70, I want you to do it. Even if it's a year or two before that, I want you to do it. It's not as relentlessly as impossible as Susie Orman would tell you or have you think. All right, so we're done with that. No more talk about Suze. Now, I do want to go to the phones and we're going to talk about taxes in a minute here. Lamar joins us on the line from Atlanta. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on, man? How can I help?
How you doing, man?
I just
wanted to ask a few questions, or I guess gain some insight about Bitcoin. I heard you mention that earlier, and I'm very interested in it. And my son and I have been heavily considering buying one each. Is that something that you recommend, or what's your take on that?
Yeah, so I think it's a good question because it's another really hot story in the world of finance today, because it's attracting a lot of light, because anytime any asset, whether it's a housing in Florida, whether it's tech stocks in 98 99, whether it's any sort, whether it's tulips in the Netherlands in the, I don't know what, the 1400s, whatever, anytime an asset goes from being worth a dollar to being worth $5 or $6 or $7, which is the case here with Bitcoin in just the past year, people want to know about it. Hey, what did I miss out on here, right?
Yeah.
And it's only about a year ago, Bitcoin was at $1,000 per Bitcoin. Today it's 7,000. So it's been an enormous run up, right? And I've covered this in the last couple of weeks, and it gets even hotter and hotter and hotter because the price keeps going up. So you say to yourself, well, man, I missed out on that, right? Well, I have a Bitcoin account. I use an app called Coinbase, and you can buy fractional Bitcoin. And that's what here's what my take on this is. I actually do believe that long-term Bitcoin will probably be around as a currency, because it's now the cryptocurrency that is, let's call it, the grandfather. And crypto or blockchain technology that makes this possible is a very real thing and a very legitimate thing. And big companies like IBM and Goldman Sachs are using blockchain technology for lots of different applications, Internet of Things, better cybersecurity, you name it. It's that technology that makes Bitcoin actually a really legitimate medium for transacting business. It takes away a middleman. It makes the cost lower. So it's not necessarily, so again, I'm saying that over time, it's very, very likely to stick around. What will not continue, Lamar, and this is my opinion, the skyrocketing price, this, I've seen this chart over and over and over and over and over again for 20, 30 years. And it always ends badly on a price perspective. So it looks like a half, if you can imagine a skateboard half pipe, it goes up, but it just keeps going up and up and up. That's what the chart looks like today. It's like a roller coaster going straight up, right? 5,000 to 7,000 in just a couple weeks. And I've seen this over and over again, and every time it ends the same way. You see a massive crash. So if you were to put $7,000 in for one full Bitcoin, your $7,000 could turn into $8,000, could turn into $9,000, could turn into $10,000. But then what do you do? Because then it could turn back into $3,000. And that's my worry about. I really would not. I'd look at it as a currency to say, look, you can use it. You can, more and more stores allow it. Some big websites, some of the big vacation websites will let you pay for hotels in Bitcoin now. So it's legitimate. But I wouldn't bet on it as a vehicle to grow your money, or at least I'm not doing that. Now, I have a Coinbase account where you can have a fraction of Bitcoin. So you say, hey, I want to put $50 in Bitcoin and use it at a store, pay off. I use it to pay off my losing golf bets. And for the most part, man, they're all losing golf bets, right? But I have a Coinbase account and I can send people, you know, $10, $15 if I lose. And that's how I view it. So sure, go ahead and get some Bitcoin, but just get a fraction of a Bitcoin. Put $10, $50, $100 into it. Use it. But don't expect it to be an amazing investment from a price perspective, because every time I've seen a chart that looks like a half pipe that goes straight to the moon, there's always the other side of that chart, which is an absolute crash. At least that's what I see from my perspective. Now, Lamar, thank you for the call. Let's talk. Let's go to this. This is a call from Seth in Decula. Seth, what's going on? You have a question about taxes?
I do, and this might lead into what you're about to talk about. The tax code right now has been released, or at least the rewrite of it, and I know there are certain aspects of it that might change after the Senate's done with it, and then, of course, the House of Representatives, again, if modifications are made, not to mention all the lobbyists and special interest groups. But in your opinion, do you believe there's any aspect of this release that might actually survive all those modifications and still remain relatively intact, as far as how it was presented the other day by Speaker Ryan?
So I do in a lot of respects, because I think that, I'm not going to go into the political side of this, but as I look through this, it's not as dramatic as we might think. Now, you might if you live in a state like New York, you say, wait a minute, you're getting rid of my state and local tax deductions. That's pretty legitimate to me, and that really hurts me. So some of it is a big, big deal, but on the surface here, the way I see it for individuals, Seth, is that it's slightly net positive for most people. And so if you think about Congress and you think about how our congressional leaders, they vote for what, to get more votes. So let's just say, let's look at it in that context. And I think that the vast majority of the population is going to support this and want this, because pretty much helps almost every category. So I do think it gets through. I do think, and I was going to talk about this today, so this is a great lead-in question. So thank you, Seth, by the way, and thanks for listening to Money Matters. I do think that there's more weighting towards the corporate side of tax changes than the individual. And I look at this as a bill or a proposal that is a little bit of something for everybody. It's a whole lot to the corporate world. It's a little bit for you and me as an individual. But as an investor, because so much is changing on the corporate side, or there's more dramatic change on the corporate side, it should be good for businesses in America. And if I, as an investor, that's really where I want to place my bets, meaning that this is good for companies. That means it's good for company earnings. That means it's good for stocks. That's where I see an unsung benefit to all of this as an investor in America. So let's go through some of these changes. And again, I look at this as, to some extent, something in it for everybody, at least a little bit. We've talked about the corporate side of it. Here's why it's such a big deal for corporations. Remember, today the tax rate's 35% for corporations. This bill would take it all the way down to 20. That would create billions of dollars of new profits for every company that's publicly traded that you and I invest in, or almost every company. Now, let's look at it in reality. Most companies already have an effective tax rate that's lower than 35. Right now, it's around 27 is the average effective rate. And I don't think that everything, to Seth's question, is going to happen to the letter in the proposal. So let's say there's some compromise and it ends up at 23%. We're still talking about a real positive change for company earnings. So I think that really benefits investors more than anybody. Earnings tick up, stock markets tick up, investors win. So think of it from that perspective, Seth. Even though the corporation wins, if you choose and put the emphasis on being an investor, that's a benefit for individuals. Number two, reading through this, I didn't even realize how big of a number this was, but there's over 5 million people in America or taxpayers, families, that get hit with AMT, alternative minimum tax. And as soon as I say alternative minimum tax, I know you just literally eyes glazed over, let's go to sleep, let's change the channel. Don't change the channel, because you very likely are in this range if you're listening to WSB Radio. This hits people in that $120,000 income range all the way up to the $500,000 range. You effectively have to run your taxes twice. And if the AMT version of it makes you pay more in tax, that's the tax you have to pay. So you may not even know you're paying AMT, and you might be paying AMT. You could be in, let's say, let me give an example of this. It imposes a higher tax rate for some reason, or if for some reason your overall income ends up weighted to a lower rate. For instance, let me give you an example. Let's say you have $150,000 in regular wage income, but then you sell a piece of property or a house and you get $250,000 from that, and it just gets taxed at long-term capital gains, which is a lower rate of 20%. The tax code will now say, oh, too bad, you can't have so much of your income taxed at such a low rate. So then, boom, AMT kicks in, you got to pay more. That's what hits so many Americans. And it may not happen every year, but it could happen in any given year if you have some sort of transaction. This proposal takes away AMT. That could be a very big deal for a lot of Americans. We got to keep going here. I could talk about this for a couple hours. Quick news, weather, traffic. Then we're coming back to taxes, how they might impact you. Right here, I'm your host, Wes Moss, Money Matters, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Not a lot of time. We're going to do the prize pack. Second caller, 404-741. Actually, let's do this. 404-872-0750. Second caller, pair tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's The Ghost of Christmas Eve returning to Infinite Energy Arena for two shows, December 9th at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m., produced by Live Nation, and a family four-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at Infinite Energy Arena. All right, we're still talking taxes here. So here's a couple other examples. So I think AMT, which hits a lot more folks than you might think, 5.2 million or more. That's first of all. Number two, the third piece of this. So number one on this is, I think the corporate side of this is a big deal. AMT, number two, is a very big deal going away. Three, the lower taxes on small business owners, a very big deal. So a 25% pass-through tax, so LLCs, S-Corps, you name it. Think of any really almost any small business owner might very well be an S-Corp or some sort of LLC, and now subject to what could be a lower tax rate. So if they're in a 30 tax bracket, because you're a small business owner, now you drop to a 25 tax bracket. That could be a very big deal. Number four, charitable deductions, they get up to 60% from 50% of your adjusted gross income. Again, that's a big deal. The plan slashes a lot of itemized deductions, this new GOP bill, but kind of sweetens the pot on charitable deductions. The number five on my list here, the SALT deduction. SALT stands for state and local tax deductions. Instead of going away, the compromise here is that the bill will allow you to keep up to $10,000 worth of these deductions. Now, let me give you an example of this. Let's say you're in a high tax state with a 10% state income tax. Here in Georgia, we're at 6%. Let's just say 10% for round numbers. You make $400,000. You'd pay $40,000 in state and local taxes. Actually, probably more like 50 or 60 if you put the local tax piece of it in. So now you can take that deduction and you'd be able to deduct 50, 60 grand off your taxes. That saves you 10, 15,000. That's a big deal. Or maybe even more, maybe 20,000. Now, instead of taking that full 50 or 60,000 as deduction, you could only take a full of 10, so that you might only save a third of that. You might only save 3,000. So as you can imagine, that can be pretty dramatic if you're a high earner in a high tax state if it goes away. The mortgage interest is a big deal. That's a surprising change. I did not think that this would end up getting introduced in the bill, but it certainly has. Here's the bottom line. There's a little in this bill for everybody. Some sacred cows getting put to the test. SALT, the change in mortgage interest deductions. But the elimination of AMT is a big deal. Could be a big help for millions of families. The corporate side with lower overall rates is a big deal for jobs and earnings and investors. So don't redo your budget for this plan. It might only save you a couple $100, maybe $1,000. Do put more emphasis on investing over the next 10 years, as this tax overall could end up benefiting investors in U.S. businesses more than anyone. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.